The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks for listening today.
So we're really, really giddy and we're really excited, not only because we got some really good stuff to talk about today, but we got an email about a week ago from someone saying that they were interested in sponsoring us in advertising on our little homemade show.
It's a big deal in the podcasting world.
It is a big deal because we don't listen. If you're wondering out there, people, we make zero money doing this. I mean, zero.
Wait, I thought I had a check coming.
No, you have nothing. You have nothing and you'll just love it. I mean, I've been asked like when I was in California by my friends, like vendors, like, why are you making money at this? And I'm like, no, I just, you know, like, I just love it. Like, I want to do this. But some podcasts, like the shows that you're listening to that are like, you know, by NPR and like all these big, yeah, huge networks, they're making bucks. I mean, they're making a lot of money. There's huge companies advertising on them and they've got these sponsorships. And so they make money. But we do this because we love you people.
It's part of our overall plan to like dominate the world eventually.
Yes.
Our podcast is like one little part of our plan in the wedding planning world.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not putting money in our pockets.
No,
it's a labor of love.
But that being said, yes, this is a paid sponsor and it's going to pay probably something for our hosting website. But bottom line is, when Jonathan emailed us and I looked at the website, I actually was like, this is cool. Like, this is, I'm happy to talk about this, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't have to talk ourselves into anything when you said we got a sponsorship email. I was like, please don't be something lame-o that's going to be hard for us to like get really excited about and genuinely promote. And that's just the skeptic in me because, you know, and we, like we said, it's just us. This is a labor of love. So we're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
A sponsorship like this is so nice, but we could have said no if it had been something that was just like, we don't understand, or you know,
or it's dumb.
Behind.
Yeah. And we would have said, I mean, we will. I mean, you know,
yeah. We're Does that very, make us like know. Negative people? Just that
no.
Was, I know we were excited to get it, but then our second quick thought was like, please don't be, you know, something ridiculous. So I'm so stoked that it was like both fronts were okay.
Okay. So let's say what it is.
Manly bands, so wedding bands for men. That is the that. Although there's plenty on this site that a woman could wear, that I would wear even.
Oh yeah. I mean, the name is Manly Bands, but that's the one I was like. But then looking at it, I'm like, ooh, rose gold. That's super. Like, I love those really skinny, the thin ones.
Yes.
But anyway, all right. Let me say, manlybands.com. is a company started by a husband and wife, John and Michelle. And they're really cool. Like, they look really great. I love the website. I love the wording. They use the words hella and dude and bro, which is like how I talk and you.
Yeah, it's descriptive and cool and like user-friendly, the website.
Super user-friendly. And they're really good-looking bands. So the idea behind this is that they are well-designed. They look really, really good. They're made out of a very good, you know, really awesome materials that aren't going to get ruined or nicked or dinged or scratched.
And Titanium.
Yeah. Metals. There's some that are wood, which are super cool. And the price point is amazing because if you are someone who tends to lose things, okay, which let's face it, half of the population loses things, especially
You're talking about men.
I'm talking about men. And some women that I know, I lose earrings.
I lost an Apple Watch.
Oh, you did lose an Apple Watch. But, you know, especially if you're taking these things off for work or whatever it is, and then you don't know where you put them, this price point is awesome because you don't care about, like, you know, going to buy another one. Like, it's not going to kill you. You know, we had to put Jose Luis's platinum wedding band on our insurance, and he lost it once, and we were flipping out, and, you know. But, no, these are, like, it's okay. Yeah,
under $200 for most on the price point. Yeah. Right? Almost all of them.
Almost all of them. Well, I don't. Are under $200.
Yeah. So it's strong materials and it's a good price point. But I think the coolest thing about the site and the rings and the product is that there's just some really cool options to choose from all on one site. So you're not dragging your guy to four different jewelry stores.
Yeah.
Like there's rings on here to match every kind of ring that you as a bride might be wearing. There's rings that can stand alone, and there's really cool options with mixed metals and mixed materials and wood and stuff. Like, I like the gentleman that would go with my ring. If I wanted my husband to wear something to match mine, it would be the gentleman with that rose gold and the silver in the middle.
Oh, yeah, it's super cute.
But I would wear that. I don't think Lance would. I think he'd want something like the blue steel or the DJ, like something with that little hint of blue. So these are cool. Like, you know, it's cool. I think a guy would have a good time just looking at these and it would pique his interest.
Yeah. The architect is super cool. I love the baller. There's one called the baller. It's like all black. And it's like, some of it is like a, what do you call that? That matte. Shiny matte material
matte
in the middle.
Versus shiny.
And
yeah.
Then shiny just on the edges. So, I mean, these are really cool looking. And they are offering a promo code. You get a discount for listening to our show, people. And it's the same as our Twitter account. Oh, no, it's not the same. It's, what is it?
It's very close.
TBWPP.
Yeah, so you
TBWPP.
Put that in and you get the 15% off.
Yeah, it's just the first letter of the words in the name of our show. TBWPP. You get a 15% discount. It's always free shipping. It can't be easier, dude. And they'll get to you quick. So if you're about to get married and you still haven't found a ring, here you go.
Yes, and if it doesn't fit, quick return, quick turnaround for another size. So
yeah, really easy.
Check it out.
Okay. Thank you, Manly Bands. And back to you, Christy.
Excellent job. I feel really good about that.
I know. We totally did that.
And also that by next week when we record, we will have these bands in our hands and our husbands will be wearing them.
Yeah.
So we can maybe post some pictures.
Or I'll be wearing them.
Yeah. We'll link to this on our show notes, of course. So that was that. Good job, everyone.
Good job. Okay, buddy.
And today's topic of the podcast is something that Michelle brought up. You brought it up a couple weeks ago, right? Thinking like,
yeah,
I want to do a podcast that is specifically catered to the one thing that every person that we work with, every person that's getting married and actually plans a wedding, they all talk about this one thing. And we try to limit it, but it is stress. The stress of wedding planning.
It's the S word.
Yeah. What's stressful? How do you deal with it? You know, is the distribution of labor between you and your partner even? Does it help? Do you take breaks? What's keeping you up at night? And we have been interviewing like some clients of ours, past and present, some that are in the middle of planning their weddings right now and some that just finished their weddings. So between the two of us, Michelle and I have gathered these ideas and thoughts and quotes from people who have been in the thick of it with you, maybe our listener.
You might be in it right now. You probably are.
Yeah. And if you're not, there's definitely going to be times during the planning process where you feel more stressed out than others and certain things that are going to come up or changes that'll be made. So we're going to try to help navigate and give our best advice and also just let you all know that you're not the only one.
You're not alone.
That's feeling, you know, anxious or negative, or maybe this isn't the most fun. Wedding planning isn't fun for everyone.
Mm-mm.
So how can we help? That's what we're going to try and do.
We're here for you, buddy.
Yeah. So
I think I was telling this to my friend the other day. You know, she's like, everybody always asks, like, how isn't it hard to work with these? And I feel like we meet these people at such a specific time in their lives that they're not really themselves. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, they are planning a wedding. It is all consuming. For some of them, it's the first time. For some of them, it's the second time. But it's all consuming. And there are certain things that trigger them, right? And there are certain arguments they get into that they would never have dreamed of caring about mm-hmm. until now.
And there's also planning your wedding that you've either planned a wedding before or you've got friends that have planned weddings and you kind of know what's going on and you've read some blogs and you picked up a wedding magazine and it's like, I'm ready to do this. And I know it's going to be stressful, but I'm ready to attack this timeline and to-do list one by one and just knock them down and move forward. And then something happens. Some plan has to get changed. There's some wrench that gets thrown into it that can be debilitating for a minute. It's like it can just knock you off your whole, the whole process of it. And then what happens at that point? Like, how do you get back on the right page or, you know, make a new plan or take the time to figure out a problem that you didn't even think you were going to have? And that comes up a lot where it's, you know, stressful by surprise.
Okay, so let's just dive right in. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can go first. I think I had a couple. I had more, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I'm not using their real names, but some of these people that get, you know, I talk to, we will be talking to on the podcast. So that's cool. So Casey is a bride and she's about 5 months in and she has 2 months to go. So that's where she is. She said she talked about how the most stressful thing so far was booking the venue, the site booking, because of how expensive it was and because the venue needed to know a bunch of scheduling stuff that needed to be figured out sort of at the beginning of the planning process, and they had no idea what all the moving parts were going to be. And that I can understand. With wedding planning, it does seem like there's a lot to do up front and then there's a lot to do at the end. And the mm-hmm. venue is one of the upfront things. So she said finding the venue and then actually like paying for it and putting that credit card down was really stressful because it kind of meant this is the real deal. Every other decision is going to be based on this one. Mm-hmm. And then I asked all of these people about if they take actual breaks from wedding planning. You know, remember Matt and Amanda said like yes. Occasionally we don't talk about it. Yeah. So she said, we don't take planned breaks, but I'm doing most of the planning and I try to time my questions for Alan so that he doesn't get overwhelmed easily with all of this stuff. And I can tell when it's time for me to stop asking questions or talking about the wedding because he gets like very obvious wedding fatigue, which in my opinion probably just means that she can tell he's not actually listening to her anymore. So at some point in the night or in the conversation, she knows like, okay, we'll table that for now.
Yeah.
And then she said she is the one doing most of the work, but she does enjoy it. And that being said, her fiance is more stressed out. She says, despite having been to many, many weddings in the last couple years, he can't seem to recall the details of any of them, like when toasts occur. So she's in the thick of it with the details and he is stressing out about money and the big picture. So that's where this couple is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all triggers. Details, money, venue. Actually, Stephanie, my bride, for September, she's getting married in San Jose at the Fairmont. Beautiful venue. That was one of the things she said. She's like, nobody, I don't know. She's like, obviously, I've never done this before, but like, I just started calling vendors right away that looked awesome. And I realized like, I got to have my venue first because that's mm-hmm. going to tell me, you know, even if my date's available. And so she said like that freaked her out because she would call. She wanted a photographer like this. And the photographer's like, well, you're probably going to need to book your venue first because we could say it's this date, but I'm booking up quick and I need to know the date, you know. So like, so that was like kind of her first very stressful thing that happened.
Because it's the biggest decision. It's the most expensive decision. And it has to be done very early on. So yeah. It's almost daunting. Like you just got engaged and you're enjoying being engaged and you're having your little engagement parties and it's exciting. And then, you know, a couple weeks or months later, you're like, we should really plan. We should start planning. And you don't get to start slow. You don't get to start with the fun stuff like, you know, flowers and this photographer that you really love who has like a cool, edgy editorial style. You have to start with the slog. You have to start with the budget,
mm-hmm.
the venue, which is going to mm-hmm. take a huge chunk of your budget, and the guest list.
Yeah, all those three things kind of like at the same time.
At the same time, and they yeah. are the most stressful things in my experience and what yeah. all of these people have said to me. So that's just keep that in mind. It's like ripping the Band-Aid off. That's the hard part. Those three things are the hard part. And then yeah. it does get easier. It gets better. So, yeah, so that's where she was at. And I think, you know, once they picked the site and put the deposit down, things felt a little bit better.
Deposit is scary.
Yeah, that is scary. It's like shit gets real when you give your credit card and they're going to hold $9,000. You know, when was the last time you put that on your credit card?
Yeah. For like air.
Yeah.
Like at the moment. Yeah, like you're exactly. not getting anything.
It's not tangible, but you signed something that said yeah. you're not getting this back. So yeah. we get it. That is stressful. And it's just part of the process. Just happens to be at the beginning.
Yeah. So Chelsea, I guess I'm gonna go next. Chelsea, who is my lovely bride who got married a few weeks ago in San Francisco, who is a yogi. She's a yoga instructor, right? She is not a 20-something. Like, you know, she's a mature adult. She's gorgeous. She's just like, you know, when I talked to her on the phone, I'm like, this is good. And she was amazing on the wedding day. And I talked about that on our last episode, but there's things that she said that occurred that she was like I said at the beginning, like totally, you know, triggered her and stressed her out that she can laugh about now after, but she just couldn't believe that she, who is, you know, very present and lives a certain type of life, you know,
but was
totally
all
flipped
riled
out.
Up about yeah. stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But big one was family drama, right? And that happens with every wedding because, you know, if you take events and you compare a corporate event, let's say, to a wedding, there's one thing that makes it very different, and that is emotions, and that is family, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Things come out from childhood.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you've known your sister and you guys have fought all your life, and so you know right now she's being super annoying and it's going to piss you off 30 times greater than it normally would
yeah.
than it would your friend who's watching her and going, what are you talking about?
People,
why are you tripping?
Revert back to childhood in some ways. Like
I've heard
grooms, full grown men, you know, like established career professionals, be like, Mom, God, you're embarrassing me. Just stop. Mom. That is like in a meeting in front of me, and I'll look at him and just see like 13-year-old him. Like, no, Mom, that idea is lame. We're not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's like a finance lawyer. And he's turned into a 14-year-old, like, telling his mom to back it up.
Yeah.
So it's not just, like, issues from childhood. It's relationships that, like, make you feel like a child again or a teenager who's just like, I'm trying to do this thing. Why won't anybody listen to me?
Or family dynamics, right? Where step-parents are involved. Mm-hmm. You know.
You think you're well-adjusted until
yeah.
everyone's in one room.
Yeah. So Chelsea was, I remember when I met with her, we were chatting and we were just kind of BSing. And she's like, you know, my fiance's stepmother, she's wearing white. She's wearing
awesome.
White to the wedding. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, like,
yeah,
and,
there's like,
how
do they not know? Why would you make that decision?
And you may not think that's a big deal, right? If you're listening to this. And it probably, in the grander scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But she's like, it's a freaking statement.
Chelsea herself 6 months ago would have been like, not a big deal.
Right.
I won't think that's a big deal. But when you are in the middle of the hurricane,
and that's your future,
like a really big deal. Yeah.
You're going to be bound to her in family and marriage, you know, and you're like, it's my day, man. Yeah. You're my stepmother. You're his mother, his stepmother. You're wearing white to the wedding.
The wedding day is very weighted. Everyone puts a lot of weight on it, and you don't want to make mistakes or missteps or scream at somebody like your future stepmother-in-law. You don't want to do those things because it feels weighted. Like, this is after the wedding, I have to deal with this. I don't want a mess to clean up. Nobody wants to start things off on a messy foot.
No.
For sure.
And she didn't. She didn't yell. She didn't confront.
Yeah.
She
was surprised by her own reaction to it.
I can't believe I'm reacting like this, A. But B, like, seriously?
I'm right, right?
Yeah. Am I right? Am I crazy? No, you're not crazy.
We do a lot of, just like you would for your best friend, as a wedding planner, we do a lot of validating. Yep. I do a lot of that feeling that you're having right now, I support you in that feeling. That feeling is valid. Because sometimes that's all people need, and that's all brides and grooms need, is just to be told that they're not crazy.
Right.
And, you know, our job is to keep the crazy at a minimum. And sometimes there's legit ways that our clients do get a little crazy, but a lot of times they just, your head's everywhere. You just need to be reminded, it's okay to feel that way. That's valid that you feel that way. And now let's move on and figure out what we're going to do about it.
I want to mention that Chelsea said to me, and she's like, tell this to your listeners. She's like, the moment I got engaged, I got a therapist. Because
very, very smart.
And I told her, I'm like, you are so smart. If you've never had a therapist before, all you out there getting married, or if you have one and you haven't seen him or her in a while, go get one. Because all of these things, the family drama, the dieting, you know, like you're like trying to lose weight and you're hungry and you're angry, you're hangry. Okay. you know, friends who you've been friends with for years who aren't married yet, and they're actually secretly kind of being assholes to you. Mm. All of these little things, get yourself somebody to talk to that's non-partial other than me and Christy, your wedding planners. But, you know, it's a good idea.
Because wedding planning time is not normal day-to-day life goes on as usual. Wedding planning time is different. That's just the way it is. It's different. It's not going to last forever that you're in this, but it is a certain amount of time with an expiration date that feels unlike, unless you're an event planner, wedding planning is going to feel unlike any other period of time in your life. It's not stressful the whole time. It's just like a kind of surprising roller coaster full of compromise and revelations. And also you just hemorrhage money. It feels like you're just hemorrhaging money and you're like, when is this going to stop? Where is this money going to come from? How is that expensive? So in a way, I don't want to scare anybody out of planning a wedding, but there are some things that are just, it just is. There's ways to make it better and there's, you can navigate through it, but it is going to be stressful at times and it is going to feel like you're spending a lot of money. And I think that's true whether you're planning huge wedding or a backyard, 25 people. It's all relative to how much you spend in the rest of your life. And this is a big expense, just like a car or a house or having a baby. It's a big expense. So I want to talk about, since we're talking about family, we've touched on money and, the actual logistical things that need to be done, like getting a venue, and then that can be really stressful. But since Chelsea mentioned specifically family, drama or dynamics, and just how she was specifically kind of stressed out and pissed off about that white situation, the white outfit, one of my brides, and also someone I'm very close to, had a year to plan her wedding, and that's pretty typical. But in that year, a lot of stuff happened, a lot of big things in her life happened. Her mom got very, very ill. It was long distance. Planning the wedding coincided with this other giant life event. And we're going to talk to this bride, my friend Lauren. I'm going to talk to her. We're going to have her on the podcast kind of with a whole episode about What happens when you're planning your wedding and this other huge life thing happens at the same time? Yeah. And that, of course, is stressful and emotional. But something Lauren had to deal with throughout her planning process that made me so mad as her friend, like her, I just wanted to just fix the problem for her, had to do with kids at the wedding.
Mm.
Like, she and her fiance decided and made it clear on their wedding website, and they did it all in the right ways and the right wording, that they didn't want kids at the wedding. It was an adult-only wedding. And more than one guest pushed back on this. And it made me crazy because I knew what Lauren was really going through in her, you know, real life, like the other stuff that was happening in her life. So it made me crazy that she had to deal with something that I could consider just bullshit. I was so mad that there were multiple guests that called her up and, you know, said, well, I know you said no kids, but this is my situation. What am I going to do? And ultimately, there were a lot of kids at the wedding. And I think it was fine. And I think that Lauren thought it was fine also by that point. She had kind of resigned to this. But it was extremely stressful, more than it should have been, for her and her fiance to deal with. What do you do when guests don't actually respect, frankly, your wishes on your wedding day?
Mm-hmm.
And then do they get a babysitter? And then they were going to get a babysitter and have like a kids area. And then several of the moms were like, no, you don't need to do that. My kids, they won't even be into that. They're going to just sit with me at the table. And they kind of steamrolled her. And it was very stressful for her. But I've seen other couples deal with this thing too, with the kids and the like gray area. And we've talked about it on the website. But this specifically just really, it made me mad because it was something on her plate that should not have been on her plate. The invitation said adults only. That should have just been taken for what it was. And that's that. Move on. Figure out your own shit. If you need a babysitter for that night, get a babysitter. Or,
yeah.
And this is a little harsh. So, side note, harsh. Don't come.
Yeah.
I mean, that really, at the end of the day, a wedding is hosted by someone. They are inviting you. Sometimes to their home. If someone invites you to their home and they're hosting this thing and they're spending a lot of money and it's special and it's supposed to be about them, don't put your own stuff on that.
Mm-hmm.
As a guest, you either say yes and you do what the host wants you to do, or you say, we can't swing it, we wish you the best, and maybe take them out to dinner later. You know what I mean?
You're being selfish.
Rude. It's just rude.
Yeah. And if it comes down, and you as the guest may think the couple is being selfish, but guess what? In this scenario, if it's you being selfish versus the couple being selfish, guess who wins?
They win.
The couple.
Yeah. It is.
It's their day to be selfish.
It's an invitation. Yeah. It struck me as so rude. And I know I got more upset about it because she wasn't, you know, she's not dealing with just typical bride stress. Oh, we can't figure out the invitations. It was like, oh, I don't know if my mom is going to be alive on the wedding day. And are we going to be able to figure this out? And do we need to change dates? And oh my God, we've already spent all this money. And also, I'm so sad. My mom is sick and this is emotional and horrible and tragic. And now I'm getting emails from friends about bringing their kids.
About your kids.
Ugh, just so. So that was something that was stressful. It probably would have been stressful for any bride, even under typical circumstances. But just think about that. If you're listening to this and you are a bride or you're somebody planning your wedding, great. If you're listening to this and you've been a guest or you are a guest at a wedding, just remember to go with the flow that they set out.
Check yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea mentioned that was the second most stressful thing to her was the guest list, you know, and it's tough to figure out the guest list. We devoted a whole episode to this. So if you're wondering about guest list, go back and listen to it. It's in the first five. I can't remember what number it is, but, she kept having people ask her. They didn't do plus ones. Okay. They didn't do plus ones, only if it was a married couple, you know, or, you know, someone who's been in a relationship for many, many years, and that person's part of the family or, you know, part of the circle of friends. But other than that, there was not any plus ones because she had a limited amount of people she could invite so that they could sit out on the patio and she had a B list. Mm-hmm. And so anybody on her A list who wasn't going to come, you know, she needed the plus one space so that she could bring, you know, bring in people from her B list, because those people also, like, she really wanted them there.
Yeah.
And so, like, she sent out her save the dates on that paperless post. And she, you know, she, I guess on paperless post, you can make it to where, like, you can allow people to add guests, you know, bring one. But she turned that feature off. Right. And
thinking
so
that would make it even more obvious.
Correct. And not allow people to just, like, sneak in people.
Right.
And so she had, like, a friend who snuck in her boyfriend on the wedding day. Okay. Ridiculous. On the wedding day. And then when Chelsea said, like, dude, what's up? Like, your boyfriend's here. Oh, no, no. I put it on paperless post. And she's like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. And then she had another friend. This was on the wedding day, but a lot happened in advance of the wedding. People saying, like, I want to bring a guest.
Emailing or calling.
Please, can I bring? Dude, texting. Come on. Don't be like that. Like, let me bring, blah, blah, blah. She actually had a friend on the wedding day. On the wedding day, text her that morning. Hey, listen. My boyfriend, who she did allow to bring, my boyfriend actually has to leave at 8:30. So is it possible? Can I just have, like, you know, my buddy come and, like, just take his place? Okay, yeah, you might think that's easy because there's an open seat. Yes, but the point of this is a celebration of her love.
Strangers there.
Exactly. Ugh. She didn't want to look at a stranger's face. She wanted the most important people to her. And this chick is texting her on the wedding day.
Oh, my gosh, people.
Can I bring, Tim, my buddy from the gym, or whoever, you know? And she's like, she goes, Michelle, first of all, I threw the phone across the room. I waited 4 hours to respond. And this was her response. I love it. She said, and I quote, "This is my wedding, not musical chairs." Boom. Sent
That's
the text.
It?
That's it.
What'd the guest do?
I don't know. But I was just like, good for you.
Yeah.
And good that you waited. Right. But, like, yeah, it's the guest list is so hard.
Yeah.
For those people planning their wedding. It's so hard to get that down. It's so hard to negotiate and compromise.
Yeah.
With your partner, with your parents. Right.
Mm-hmm. With your budget.
With your budget, you know, and the space. I mean, anyway, guest list.
Guest list
huge.
Was the thing all. Everybody I talked to said, when I specifically asked them about stress, several people said budget and money, but everybody said guest list. It seems to be, even like I talked to one of my grooms, who will also be on the podcast. We're going to do a whole groom interrupted episode, as we'll call it. But he definitely talked about money. But then he said, who are we inviting? This was a big compromise for us, probably as a couple. The biggest compromise we've ever had to do, because it's very literal. You write names down and you have to sort of make your case for some people. There's like a giant Venn diagram. Here's who you want to invite. Here's who I want to invite. Here's who we agree on. I do not want that asshole from your office to come. No way am I letting your cousin bring her new boyfriend. And it's like tit for tat. Well, I let you invite your whole softball team. Why can't I invite all the dudes I went to elementary school with? It is a compromise in the most basic level, when it gets complicated and there's pros and cons. So everybody stresses out about the guest list. A lot of times one partner wants it to be very small and the other partner doesn't understand how that's possible and wants the wedding to be very big.
Yep.
And then that
or they don't understand. Exactly. And they don't understand. Or, you know, Chelsea was planning. Michael was involved where he had to be. And that was the one thing it took him a couple of months to understand, that he just didn't get it. We can't just have extra guests. Like, people would call him the same way they're calling her. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I love you. Of course you can bring. And she's like, babe, like, I love him, too. But we can't.
Yeah.
Like, you have to understand. So, yeah.
Yes, that's hard to, I guess, like, it's hard to explain. One of the brides I talked to, I'm calling her the professional bride. She's been married before, and he has not, but she's also in the event industry. So mm-hmm. she wanted, she wants a small, intimate, you know, she wants us to be intimate. Partly yeah. because she's already been married and she feels like it's a little, in her opinion, like ostentatious or, you know, tacky even to have like a second huge wedding that's just as huge and over the top as your first one. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think you do each his own. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she does think that it's more, when it's more intimate, then it's more fun and the energy is better for everyone. So she's thinking mm-hmm. like big picture, we're going to have a better time on our wedding weekend if we have 50 people that we get to see Friday and Saturday and a little bit on Sunday, and everyone gets to know each other, and it's, and you know, just this beautiful montage of close friends. And yeah. in his mind, he needs to invite everyone he's ever met, including his barber, because that's someone he sees every week. And he loves to talk to him. And they are kind of whittling it down.
Oh, but that's interesting.
I think it's going to be mathematically a pure compromise. Like, he wants 150. She wants 50. I think they're going to end up with 100. And yeah. and that's great. But it's, both of you are going to have to make some sacrifices there.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's another one. So Stephanie, who is getting married in, I already said this, September, and she's like one of our number one original fans. Hi, Stephanie. So this is a big one. So her parents are paying for her wedding,
mm-hmm.
which used to happen
the whole
all
thing?
The time. The, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think pretty much the whole thing. She's an only child. Her parents, she's Chinese. Her parents are Chinese. And so what she has been finding very, very stressful, difficult, is the fact that her parents is really managing other people's expectations, right? Mm. Her parents are very invested in this. And
literally.
To them, literally. Literally. And, you know, traditions are important to them. They, you know, all their hopes and dreams and desires for their one only beautiful daughter, you know, making an effort with the loved ones, with her parents, to have conversations. Initially, she should have done this, is what she said. She should have found out and sat with them and said, besides the budget, you know, what is important to you? What are your priorities? Not to please them necessarily,
but to
be sensitive.
Yeah, and to know going yeah. into it that there's some things that are just concrete.
So Stephanie is an artist, right? I mean, she said right there, point in case, like her parents saw her doing something business-like, you know, as a career. And Stephanie is this very talented painter and artist. In fact, she's making so many things for her wedding. It's going to be amazing. And so she has a different mindset than her parents. And her dad is like, you know, huge professional, big company. And so for him, you know, like they'll sit and they'll have like what she calls business luncheons. Ah. And they'll go over this 30 line item spreadsheet. And wow. before every vendor she had to hire, you know, her dad would sit down and take a look and go over pros and cons and talk about it from a financial perspective, you know. And whereas her mom was more like, so this is a great story. Stephanie was, I think she was in LA, and she wasn't looking for a dress, but she happened upon this shop and she found this amazing dress, and it's, the color is like a coral color, right? And she freaking loved it. Like, she put it on and she was like, oh my God, like, this is my dress.
My wedding
dress. I love it. Her wedding gown.
Awesome.
And so she's so excited and she's like, I'm just going to call my mom and just tell her, you know, and just make sure she's okay. And her mom was like, yes, it's fine. You know, if you love it, I'll give you my blessing. But then come to find out, a couple months later, mom is devastated.
That it's not
devastated.
Right?
A, it's not white. B, she wasn't part of the experience to go with her daughter and like find her gown and like.
But she said it was okay. Oh,
but she said it was okay because she didn't want to be, you know, difficult.
Families,
but
y'all.
She was not communicating. She's like, yeah. Listen, we're not good at communicating in my family.
She needed some subtext there. Like, this is what yeah. you said, but what do you really mean?
Right.
Oh, that sucks. That's sad.
And so it turned out to be this really sad, dramatic thing. Everything's fine now. And actually, Stephanie has a second dress she's going to change into, partly because she can't dance in this one. They, like, have this whole, like, dance they're going to do. But also partly because she decided that she wanted her mom to be part of the process in some way. And so she has a white dress that she's going to change into and everything. But emotions, family, finances, especially when you're not the one paying for your wedding, it can be tough.
Yes, it can be tough. It can be stressful. And yes, there's very little that can be done to fully take that away. So now we're talking about, like, how to cope with stress. Like, with Stephanie, she now knows if there's any other decisions that she's going to make kind of on the fly like that, that even if her mom says, sure, go ahead, she needs to dig a little bit more and be like, Mom, are you absolutely sure that this isn't an issue? Because I don't want it to be, and I love you, and I want this to go, you know, well for everyone. So you kind of learn along the way, like, hindsight, you know, is 20/20 with these, and, like, in retrospect, looking back, I probably should have had these conversations earlier. Or sometimes you find out that the best way to communicate, like, maybe Stephanie and her parents now have figured out these meetings where they go over all the bullet points in the list and they're there face to face and then they follow up. That works for them. But sometimes you don't find that out until 75% into the process. And it's like, well, there was a lot of hits and misses before we figured out how to talk to each other. And that goes for the couple and the parents or the committee, the planning committee, as it were. Because that's, you know, harkens back to what Casey said at the beginning of this episode about, like, I can tell when my lovely fiance needs me to stop talking about it. I can just tell. So I do. But I bet, you know, that was some trial and error. I bet there were times where he probably just said, please enough! Stop. Please stop talking about it. I'm not listening anymore. And the game is on and I just can't. So you figure it out as you go. But this, basically what we're trying to say is, like, the stress is inherent in some way or another. Your wedding planning is going to feel stressful. Everyone feels that way, but it is worth it. I mean, it does culminate with this celebration. It should be a reflection of both of you, and it should be a day that you have a wonderful time and that you remember, and you remember the day more than you're going to remember that stressful conversation or that one stressful thing you had to deal with. Yeah. So keep that in mind. We've said before, like, keep your eye on the prize.
I have one more. Do you have any more?
I kind of am touching on all of them. So I think we're okay. Yeah, go ahead.
One more, because I know you're time sensitive.
I'm very sensitive.
You're very sensitive. Okay. So the lovely Miss Lauren Starr, who is, I'm doing her wedding in September. She is also a yoga instructor. In fact, she was one of my teachers during my teacher training. And even before I did teacher training, I'd love to take her classes. She's amazing. If you guys are in the Boston metro area and you want to take an amazing yoga class, and now is the time to start, go to Lauren's classes.
Therapy and yoga. That's what we suggest.
RootsYoga.com, RootsYoga.com, just in case. All right, so Lauren, this whole question of the wedding party, she has a lot of close girlfriends who, over the years, she has been a bridesmaid in their weddings, or even their officiant, right? And this is years and years and years ago. And, you know, she's not in her 20s. This is not the first time. Their friends are not in the 20s.
They've all been doing the wedding thing for a while.
They've all done the wedding thing.
Got it.
But she's like, I don't want to have, like, this huge wedding party. I have so many friends. I could easily probably have, like, 12 to 15 women standing just on my side.
Ah.
And so for her, taking those feelings into consideration and figuring out, like, am I bound, you know, do I have to ask Evelyn to be my bridesmaid because I was her bridesmaid, you know? And so that for her initially was kind of like a lot of pressure. And it turns out, like, she was telling me, like, her very, very, very best friend who lives in Washington, D.C., who, you know, has little kids. She's like, I, I'm going to have to ask her. But again, I don't want a ton of people. And so she like asked her and her friend was like,
I really don't want to do it.
I love you, kid. But and she's like, thank God. Like it was a relief to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like thinking about who you have to ask, you know, who's going to be have hurt feelings, who's not even going to want to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
or
the whole wedding party.
Or who is it like kind of hard for? You know, are you saving them like some money and some inconvenience by just not asking them? I mean, yeah. Keeping communication open. That's great that she like actually talked to her friend and her friend was honest.
Honest.
Yeah. Because that doesn't always happen. People do think like, I didn't ask you to be my bridesmaids because I didn't think you'd want to. And it's like, no, I did want to. And I'm the only one who's not. And I'm devastated. Yeah. So keeping, you know, our suggestion there is to actually talk it out. Yeah. And bridesmaids, I've had brides before who were in that same position. Like, I could have 12, but since I'm not going to have 12, I feel like my only other option is to have zero. So that right. I don't have to make any calls or nobody feels, you know, this way or that way. Or instead of having all my friends, I'm just going to have one and it's my sister and my only sister and that's it.
Right.
Because if I open it up to his sisters, then I got four more. And if mm-hmm. I, you know, if I had my cousin, then I need to have all my cousins. And to that, I think don't worry about that stuff. Ask no. who you want. Don't you do not have to ask somebody just because you were their bridesmaid. That happens in some social circles more, I think, especially with young brides, where maybe sorority sisters. I've been a bridesmaid 6 times in the past 2 years. Now I feel like I have to ask all 20 of my sorority sisters to be a bridesmaid. You don't. You don't.
Yeah. And Lauren has a daughter. Like, she has a daughter. She's going to be 16. Beautiful daughter. She's, like, the most important person to her.
Yeah.
Ever. And, you know, she's like, I want her to do something special. And then, you know, she has another girl, her friend, who like really wants to be involved. She really wants to be the bridesmaid. And she lives in California. So it's like, yeah, I think we need to do a whole episode.
Yeah.
About this, Christy. Well, about wedding party.
We're for sure going to have like a career bridesmaid on. My cousin, I think we'll get her in the next couple weeks. She is young. She's 25, I think. And she's mm-hmm. been a bridesmaid 7 times, or she
oh,
is
good Lord.
Total 7 times this year, 2017, 7 times.
Whole,
not to she's... mention, you know, last year and 2018. So, and she's also not married herself, but, you know, maybe someday soon we'll get engaged. So she has some experience, you know, the cost and the time commitment and what the role entails and why she loves it and why she doesn't love it. And I want to talk to her specifically about how she's going to do things differently or the same when she's
yeah.
a bride, you know?
Yeah.
It's like now you're on the other side of it and you know what your friends put you through or how your friends made it really fun. So now what are you going to do as a bride one day,
yes.
you know? Would you have
yes.
all 12 people? Would you let them choose their own dresses? All that stuff. That can be stressful and it shouldn't be. I was, you know, your wedding party, especially as a bride, and if you're having a traditional wedding party with your gaggle of girls, that should be fun. That should mm-hmm. not be stressful. So try to mm-hmm. limit, do what you can to limit that. If there's somebody that always brings the drama, because we all have that one friend, either they're always oh, yeah. late or it's always something, maybe don't ask them to be a bridesmaid. Just don't.
Yeah. Do
Just
yourself a favor.
Yeah. Try to control the stress on that, because that really should be a fun part of your wedding.
Absolutely. All right. I think we got it all. And in conclusion, all of you beautiful listeners, don't trip.
Yeah.
It's all good.
We promote therapy, yoga, and we really love the idea of taking planning breaks, you and your partner both.
Yes. Take a break,
people. Take a
couple
weeks.
Have a beer.
Don't talk about weddings.
Yeah.
Do something else. Watch The Handmaid's Tale and question everything that is happening in the world. It's the opposite of wedding planning. You don't know what The Handmaid's Tale is on Hulu?
No, it's I don't have Hulu.
Well, I didn't until this came out, but it's gut-wrenching, like dystopian political drama and... Anyway, it's the opposite of wedding planning, and you can watch it together and wonder about our very existence. That okay. that counts as taking a break. Just anything that is not wedding planning, we as wedding planners give our stamp of approval to wedding planning breaks.
And like we said before, no, you're not crazy. Yes, that's annoying. And yes,
we validate you.
I'm sorry this is happening to you. And we validate you and we love you and appreciate you. And to that end, thank you again to our sponsor, manlybands.com.
That's right. That is awesome. And thank you to all of our listeners. Hopefully we make your wedding planning process a little less stressful. That's what we hope.
Yeah. All right, lady.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.